Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner speaking to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We're going to be talking in this time together about the fivefold functions. Now, some people call it fivefold ministries. Some people call it fivefold offices. I prefer to call it fivefold functions. And the scripture we'll be using will be Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 17. Now, I'll be reading from the New International Version because this broadcast is over international borders and to people who speak English in various parts of the world. Therefore, the International Version is written in such a way as that every person who speaks English will understand the word to have the same meaning. So, beginning in verse 11 of chapter 4 there in Ephesians, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up into love, builds itself up in love, excuse me, as each part does its work. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. That was the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Of course, that letter would have been spread around among the churches. Remember, the early churches did not have the advantage that we have. They did not have the New Testament. They did not have the Scriptures, for that matter, because there just weren't books. They were things were put on the scrolls or just in letter form. And so they didn't have the advantage, really, that we have. We have so much more ability to understand today, and many of us can read for ourselves, which was not something that was generally perhaps available to people then. So the Apostle Paul said he was a prisoner of Christ. The members of the fivefold functions are exactly that, prisoners of Christ. Now let me stop for a minute and explain why I use the term fivefold functions. Everybody else uses offices, whatever. I use that because I find that when people think in terms of offices, you suddenly come up with this hierarchy of better than you bunch of people. And that is not the intention here. The intention here is for people to function in a certain way to bring about a certain result within the body of Christ. And so I look at this and see this and understand this as a function. Now, I am a part of the fivefold. I don't go around bragging about it. I don't go around saying either which I am of the fivefold. That's for you to figure out. I just do what I've been told to do in the function that I serve. So, when Paul talked, back to Paul talking about being a prisoner of Christ, that's really what the fivefold function people are. They are and would be miserable doing anything other than the functions to which they have been called, have responded, and have been anointed. You know, if somebody comes to me and they say to me, I think I've been called into the ministry. And I say, well, what kinds of things are you considering? And they say, well, I just feel like I've been called into the ministry. And I say, well, what other things are you considering? And they say, well, I just feel like I've been called into the ministry. But now if they say to me, well, you know, I'm considering ministry and I'm considering doing this or I'm considering doing that, understand, if you would be happy doing anything other than what you feel your calling is, you need to do that. because if you're called in to these functions or any like-type functions, which I'll maybe cover at another time, you're miserable unless you're doing those functions. Unless that's what you're doing, you will never, ever be happy doing anything else. Now, you may do some other things, but all the while you're doing them, you'll be thinking, how can I get to just doing this function that I've been called to? And that's just the way it is. Now, so as I say, if you've been called to that, or someone has been called to that that you know, they've been called. And if they've responded, they've been anointed to do that very thing. Now, the first of the fivefold functions I'm going to do, I'm just going to go through them in the way that the Apostle Paul wrote them down. The first that he wrote down was the apostle. So what does the word mean in the original Greek when we say apostle? Well, the Greek word is apostolos. And it means officially commissioned. It means a delegate. It means especially an ambassador of the gospel. But that's a delegate, officially commissioned of Christ, with miraculous powers, apostle, messenger, he that is sent. Now, I will tell you that many people have just focused on sent one, or he that's sent, and that's what they usually refer to. But you must understand that it's also a person who is a delegate. They are delegated to do something. They are an ambassador of the gospel, to spread the gospel and to function within the gospel for the benefit of believers. And it comes from the word apostolo, which means to be set apart and to be sent out. So I can understand why people would just say a sent one. However, there's a little more to it than that. So as I say, today many have chosen to focus on the word messenger, or he that is sent, as the meaning. The interpretation of the word apostle then suggests the idea of a person delivering a telegram. If the person were to exclusively be an ambassador of the gospel, then that would be the design and designation of all believers. In other words, all believers are sent out to spread the word, to spread the gospel. So therefore, the person in the fivefold function, if they are there for the building up of the body, there must be more to it than simply going out into the highways and the hedges and spreading the gospel. And I think that we need to look at those other meanings so that we can get a full understanding of just exactly what an apostle is and what an apostle does. So as I said, if the person were to exclusively be an ambassador of the gospel, then that would be the designation of all believers. So all believers then would be apostles. In a sense, they are. You can be apostolic and be doing apostle-type things as far as out there spreading the word and still not be a member of the fivefold functions. You may be doing some functions along that line. Just as in a few minutes, I'll talk about some of the other functions and you'll see more clearly perhaps what I'm saying there. So this, however, leaves out what Paul said about those of the fivefold. What are they? He said they exist for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Perfecting the saints, the believers, for the work of the ministry. You know, we've fallen into today thinking that only people who are called pastors or whatever are to do the work of the ministry. And we'll just put a little money in the plate and send them out and make them do it. And if they don't do enough of it, we'll just get rid of them and get somebody else to do it. That is not what the Scripture tells or demonstrates. So, the purpose is for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. So the saints can do the work for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now this statement from verse 12 would definitely indicate function beyond the priestly and kingly function of all believers. Let me make it clear here. We are all priests and kings, but there is a function. You know, if a child, let's say that a child was a prince or a princess, and the monarch died, And they were made then king of a country or queen of a country. Well, if they were 7 years old, they couldn't run a country. So there was someone appointed as regent to operate for them in their stead in a trustworthy way to run the country until they were old enough to do it. And they would train them in the functions of the king or the queen so that they could do that. That is precisely what is to happen from the fivefold. We are all, as believers, priests and kings, but there is nobody who could just step into a priestly office and do a priestly office of doing anything of that function. There's nobody who could just step right in to being a king or a monarch. They would need some training in that regard. So that's what we're talking about here. That's the purpose for the perfecting. In other words, for bringing people into the fullness of what the Lord meant for all believers to be able to do. Well, the basic function of all believers is to share by the fivefold. They obviously have a purpose within the body of Christ additional to others. The purpose is to the perfecting of believers for ministry work, not to bar them from ministry, but to perfect them for the ministry, to build them up, to edify all believers to do the ministry. When the church did away with all the functions except pastors, elders and deacons and etc., it deprived the body of what Jesus Christ himself had appointed. The doing of this perverted the body and denied the growth mechanism intended. This caused something akin to the blind leading the blind. You know, Jesus talked about that, and it's recorded twice, once in it's recorded in Matthew and then once in Luke, Matthew 15:4 and Luke 6:39. Jesus talked about what would happen if the blind led the blind. So certain things have to happen, and the church then, because of doing away with this, actually the church fell in a ditch, or let me call it a rut. The rut, once created, held the body in a confined condition to a man-appointed and politically governed hierarchy. There were only a few ministry gifts honored. Those with the fivefold gifts were ostracized due to being seen as a threat to the new pastoral role and that of the elders, deacons, etc. It's easy to see, once this situation has been exposed regarding the apostle, it can readily be applied to the whole fivefold, which is why I'm really delving more than just to talking about the apostle, because it really covered the whole fivefold and what happened. Now you say, well, the pastor's still around. Well, I'll talk about that shortly. Now, let's go on to the other functions. The second one that Paul mentions is the prophet. Paul said he desired all should prophesy, so why would there be prophets? Now, the word in the original Greek is prophetes, and it means a foreteller. By analogy, an inspired speaker. By extension, a poet or a prophet. The answer then would be for the perfecting and edification of prophecies and revelation guidance. That's the reason for the prophets. Not only would they deliver prophecy, but they would help others to be perfected and raised up and lifted up in their ability, since Paul said that he desired that all should prophesy, so that they could all prophesy and receive and pass along revelation guidance. Now, let me say, some people may be prophetic, but not be prophets. Now, what do I mean by that? They may from time to time get prophetic words, which they might deliver to individuals or might deliver in a gathering of believers. But they would not be people who would function in the complete function of a prophet, but they would be prophetic. Just as some people might be apostolic in some things they did, but they would not be functioning as an apostle. The next is the evangelist. A fivefold evangelist focuses on preaching the gospel and inspiring others to evangelize. Now, the original word there in the Greek is angeliste. And that word means preacher of the gospel, evangelist. It comes from another word that means to bring, to declare glad tidings, good tidings, good news. Now then, if the fivefold evangelist focuses on preaching the gospel and inspiring others to evangelize, then that would be their function, to inspire others to evangelize, to let them be built up in their ability and understanding of how to reach others for and with the gospel. And they would do this by carrying out their commission for that to happen. The evangelist is meant to focus on those in the world, not those in the body. Now let me say that again. The evangelist is meant to focus on those people who are out in the world, who are not yet a part of the body of Christ. So they don't focus on the body. But in recent years, what we've seen is the evangelist is the guy who comes through and a church holds a revival to pump up the believers. That is not the function of the evangelist. The evangelist is to be out there talking to people who are not believers. Very important thing. And one of the important things is when I get the pastor, you see, we've started expecting the pastor to be the one doing that. Please take note that man's system had the pastor doing these functions until about 100 years or so ago. And then the evangelist began to be restored. Then in the 20th century, actually some back in the 19th century, there have always been evangelists, but we're talking in great numbers where people were recognized around the world and this sort of thing. So in the 20th century, the evangelist was again accepted in much of North America and by the body of believers found there. Now we get to the pastor. That's the fourth one we're looking at here, the pastor. The pastor, however, was not relieved of being expected to also build the congregation by evangelizing. Now, I should tell you that the Greek word there for pastor is poimen. And nobody knows exactly where that word came from, but it means shepherd, literally or figuratively, shepherd or pastor. The pastor is actually to guard believers, especially new believers, as they grow in the understanding of their new faith. This type of care is needed by all believers, certainly in the first 3 to 4 years of their life as a Christian. Now, why do I say certainly in the first 3 to 4 years of their life as a Christian? Because Jesus spent 3.5 or so years with the disciples, teaching them, training them, preparing them for what was to come and what they were to do. Now, am I saying that people wouldn't need a pastor their whole life? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying there is an intense need for people to be pastored, or as I say, pastoring. These are not necessarily words, but I made them up and they serve me well. Hope they will you. So the type of care needed by all believers is certainly delivered by them. But there is this intense need as people are discipled and begin to understand the kingdom. You know, if you and I are traveling around the world and we decide we're going to settle in another country, one of the first things we would have to learn would be how that country functions. What's the language of that country? What's the coinage of that country? What are the customs of that country? When people come into the body of Christ, they need to learn those very things about the kingdom. Because they're coming into living in the kingdom of the blessing. The same blessing that was given to Abraham in the Old Testament. Because believers, we're told in the scripture, are grafted in. They're heirs of Abraham and children of Abraham by being grafted in, adopted in. So it's very important that people learn these things and what they are. How can they ever understand who they are in Christ if no one ever teaches them, if nobody ever works with them on it? Now, I understand we have the teacher coming up here, but the pastor has to come in and help guard them from getting what I call flaky. It's very easy if you're out there on your own to get really flaky. And I'm not talking about people being dominated by anybody in the fivefold functions, by the way. But I'm talking about how you just help people grow, encourage them, and in the capacitor sense, keeping them from getting too far afield in their misunderstanding of what the scriptures say and what's expected of them. The pastor is, however, not the sole member of the fivefold who relates to believers, but the pastor is the closest on the day-to-day basis to those in a congregation. They are to be sticking close to the members and the people who are in a particular congregation, gathering, fellowship, whatever. And they would stick, of those, they would stick closest to the newest of the believers. This is one of the several reasons all believers need to be a part of a congregation, fellowship, whatever. Fellowships, I should point out here, are assigned by Christ, not the believers themselves. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is this. I hear people all the time saying, well, I used to go over there for services, but I didn't like the way that person preached. They put me to sleep, or I didn't like this, or I didn't like that. And so they become the judge of others. The way to find the congregation, the way to find out where you're to be plugged in, and it may be in a group of 2,500 or 10,000, or it may be in a group of 5 or 10. But how you find out is you go to the throne and you ask to be shown, directed, whatever, to where it is. Because Jesus is the owner of the sheep, and the owner of the sheep says where they graze, not the sheep themselves. This has not been taught, by and large, to people. So they, understandably so, use the worldly method of choosing where they would live or where they would work or whatever, and so they use the same worldly method to pick where they're going to be a part of the body. That is not the way that it really needs to be done. It needs to be done by the person seeking God on that very thing. Now, it may be that they don't even need to do it. It may be that somebody leads them, as we say, to the Lord, and that person starts discipling them, and because of that, that may be how God had it designed, that they would just sort of fall in with that group for a period of time, and they would graze, so to speak, like sheep in that congregation or that fellowship. Now, the last of the fivefold functions is the teacher. The teacher is the function that, guess what, teaches the intricacies of the faith and the implementation of the faith in practical application. The word in Greek is didaskalos. And what a teacher does, and that the translation of that is an instructor. Now listen to these next words, it's very important. Doctor, master, teacher. In other words, the teacher there is not just somebody. It's somebody who has some knowledge and ability, who really understands, who has some depth, who is somewhat academic, if you will, so that people can learn, so that they can say, this is what the Greek word is for that. This is what the original meaning is for that. So this would not just be somebody who's one chapter ahead. You see? Now, that's not to put that down, because if you bring somebody to the Lord, it's a good idea if you can be the one to disciple them. Well, then you'd be teaching them. And you may be a new believer, and you may be able to stay one chapter ahead, but as you're doing that, you would want to be plugged in closely with a pastor and closely with a teacher, so that you do what you can do, but the pastor can guard both you and they from getting flaky, and the teacher can take you to the deeper things and meanings of the things that we find in the Word, so that we can understand how all of the Word, all the 66 books that we have canonized and we call the Bible, which are really a library of 66 books, so that people can find out how they tie together and what God's message is through them. That's why it's so important to have the teacher to help build up the body. But what happened? I'll go back to what I said. We got to the point that we called everybody a teacher. The pastor was almost supposed to be a mind reader, so we called that the prophetic part. He was supposed to be out there doing all the other things. He was supposed to be an evangelist. He was supposed to be guarding everybody, and he was supposed to be teaching everybody. That's too much to put on one person. for one of the reasons that that's the case is because that person can actually get a little bit full of themselves, shall we say, a little bit pride-filled, and a little bit dictatorial. That's not what's in the heart of the fivefold. As a matter of fact, I told some people the other day that what's in the heart of the fivefold is what you find in Corinthians 13, which is known as the love chapter. Because that's, you can look at that and you can see what the real heart of the fivefold should be. And I'll cover that before we complete this message. So now, let's look at perfecting the saints. If that's what these five are to do, if they're to be a part of perfecting the saints, then how does this all fit in together? All these functions of the fivefold are gifts from the Lord. And the fivefold is itself, in itself, a gift to the body. Yes, the members of the fivefold are gifts from God. And what they know and what they have been shown and their abilities are gifts from God to them so that they can pass this on to other believers. So they have received gifts and they as a group are a gift to the body. Doesn't mean they should be worshipped. And any of them that try to act like they should be, you might want to consider that they may not even be a part of the fivefold because that's not the way fivefold people behave. These gifts are bestowed on the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher as the Lord decides. Remember, Jesus is the owner of the sheep. We're His body. He is not our body. He is the head, and we are the body. Now, the gifts, you may be aware, but because we call that the charismata or whatever, but the completing or the perfecting, that word there is katarismos. Now it starts out K-A-T-A, and let me tell you something about a Greek word that starts out K-A-T-A. The Greek word K-A-T-A, the way it starts out, when you see kata on the beginning of a word, it indicates a permanency. Let me give you an example from the Spanish language. Some of you may be aware of this. If I use the word estoy in Spanish, it means I am. If I use the word soy, S-O-Y, in Spanish, it means I am. But it means it very differently. Estoy, somebody might say, estoy enfermo, which would mean I am sick. That should be a temporary condition. Soy americano would mean a permanent condition. If you were born in America, you will always be an American. So that's the difference. When you put kata on there, it has that connotation of permanency, of completeness. Most people might miss that in there, but that's what happens when you put the kata in there. Those endued with the fivefold functions are recognized by and for their gifts, just as in all believers. It is the gift that makes room for anyone. Let me say this again. The scripture tells us that. It says your gift will make room for you. So it is the gift that makes room for someone. They never force their gifts or assignment on believers or non-believers. You see, that is a satanic method of doing things. Satan forces himself on people. God does not. What we do with God, we do by choice. What you will find yourself doing with the enemy, with the adversary, with Satan, is by force. And I will tell you something. Satan, if you let him, will take you farther than you ever wanted to go and cost you more than you were ever willing to pay. That is a fact. So, a fivefold person would never force their gift or assignment on believers or non-believers. As I said, force is a method used by the adversary, not by the Lord. There are times when members of the fivefold must exercise authority but never from an authoritarian manner or heart. Let me repeat that. They will exercise authority, but not from an authoritarian manner or heart. They will basically say, this is the way it is. Let me give you a little example there, too. And in the process of doing that, they will not demean you. Satan will demean you in things, but you will not be demeaned by somebody who's in the fivefold. This would be demeaning. And some of you may have found that this happens with nobody fivefold in your life. You may find that you've actually said these things to yourself. Let's say that you do something that you know isn't right. You realize that you have done, you know, the word sin is never translated, but we need to translate that here. The word sin means to miss the mark. Think of a target and you miss the bullseye. The word sin means to miss the mark or to fall short, as in an arrow going toward but falling to the ground before it gets to the target. That's what the word sin means, missing the mark, falling short. So, there are times when I would imagine you can think of in your own life, even after you became a believer, that you missed the mark or fell short. Now, let me tell you how you can tell the difference between the Holy Spirit speaking to you and Satan speaking to you about that. Because remember, Satan will talk to you about spiritual things, and you may think they're God and that they're from God. When Satan comes to you, he will say to you, you dirty, worthless wretch. How could you do anything like that? And you will feel so demeaned, you won't even realize it's him. You'll think it's you. If you talk to yourself in a demeaning fashion, that is not from God. When the Holy Spirit corrects, the Holy Spirit will come to you and say, no, don't do that. That's outside of what we do. There'll just be that clear indication. There will be no demeaning of you. There will only be a response and guidance to the action that you did, not how worthless you are. Because how could you be worthless? Christ came and gave himself for you. God sent his only begotten Son for you. Therefore, even while you were yet a sinner, while you were yet an enemy of Christ, he died for you. You see? Can you see the difference that I'm talking about there? It's very important. So, if you find this demeaning thing coming on board in your mind, you bind Satan off of your thinking. You tell him he has no place with you in this. So, force is the method used by the adversary, not the Lord. But as I say, there are times when the fivefold must exercise authority, but they will not do this in an authoritarian manner or with an authoritarian heart. They will do it in a loving manner with a loving heart. You know, I've seen some people, you almost would think that they were just waiting for somebody to mess up so they could jump all over them and tell them, boy, you know, you're this or you're that or how terrible they are. I always think that that is so sad to see. It's been said, each of the fivefold functions is distinct, but not exclusive in their areas. So, let me give you a little guide list here. The apostle governs. The prophet guides. The evangelist gathers. The pastor guards. The teacher grows or grounds the people in the faith. Now, remember what I said. They have distinct functions, but they're not exclusive areas. For example, it's generally understood that both the apostle and the prophet also govern, because it's the apostle, or the prophet, excuse me, who may be getting really, not that they all wouldn't be getting prophecies, but the prophet may get something to guide the body. And in the guiding of the body, it helps to govern the body. The evangelist gathers, but we all know that each of us is to be out spreading the gospel in the highways and the hedges. So can you see how some of these things overlap? It's a matter of the degree, not so much exclusivity. Very important to understand, because in the guarding of people, the pastor is also in a form governing. In the grounding of people, the teacher is also in a form governing. So there is some degree of overlap in these functions. Remember, the body is not a worldly organization. The body of Christ is not organized in the same corporate way that we think of corporations or governments in the world, because it is God's method, which is not man's method. Very important. So, all the fivefold does is governed by the Holy Spirit via the law of grace and the law of love. That's the law we're all under now. We're not under the law of Moses anymore. We have been freed from that. We are under the law of grace, the law of love. You say, well, are you saying to me that we should just be able to go out and do anything we want to do? Well, you could. Except the law of love would say that if you stole from somebody, you wouldn't do that because you would not do that unto them because you would not want somebody to do that unto you. So that's the governing there. If you wouldn't want it done to you, you wouldn't do it to somebody else. You would be operating through grace. So if somebody is offensive, you will show them grace. God has shown you grace when you were offensive. God has shown you love when you weren't lovable, so we must show others love when they're not lovable. Now, that does not say that we don't sometimes have to correct people. You know, we correct our children out of love, not because we just want to just thump on somebody, but it's because we care. We want them to be cared for, and we want them to be all that they can be. Same way with the fivefold. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. This is what governs all Christians, but you will find this in the fivefold in great measure. Paul told the Corinthians, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. While this governs all Christians, this is what you can very reasonably expect from somebody who is a member of the fivefold functions. This will be some of the bedrock of them. You will know that they love you and care about you even when you mess up. They're still going to love you just as God does. That's a reasonable expectation of someone there. So all the fivefold does is governed by the Holy Spirit via the law of grace and the law of love. It would seem the fivefold is being restored in the reverse order in which it was removed by believers. The Holy Spirit is restoring what the Lord designed, just as surely as God Himself restored Israel in 1948, that a nation would become a nation in one day, just as had been prophesied. So the Lord is restoring. And as He restores, we will see the fivefold functions come more and more into operation within the body of believers. You know, the time is near for the return of the Lord. He's going to come to collect His bride and to complete her perfection. But in the meantime, He has placed in the body five groups. You know, five is the number of grace anyway. And here are fivefold functions for that very purpose. Because He loves us. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the fivefold. He works with us. He goes with us. He is our guide, our governor, our helper. He's in charge. And being in charge, He delegated certain things to five groups of people. But you know, as I say, the pastor has sort of been kept around by title, but by a very different definition. And then we saw that the teacher started coming back in. Then in the last 100 years or so, we saw the evangelist come back in. And in the 1990s, we saw the prophet begin to be recognized again. And now, after the year 2000, we're beginning to see some groups recognize the apostle again. Now, some may say, well, there's always been apostolic groups, yes, but I would have to say that some of those apostles have not been very apostolic in the way that they've, because they have been so, they've almost demeaned people sometimes. Almost treated them like they were second-class citizens, when their whole function was to raise them up to be able to do the most they could be, and that sort of thing. So I hope this has given you, I could spend time on each one of these, but this is just to give you an idea and an understanding of the fivefold and how it functions and how it operates. I hope this, if you didn't have questions, I'm sure you'll have some now at this point, and we'll be covering more things in future sessions. But I just felt that you needed, at the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that you needed to have this information, so you could begin to understand, because we are in the time. You know, many people said, when I came to Christ in the 1960s, everybody kept saying, oh, we want to be like the first century church. We want to be like the first century church. Well, I'm not so certain that we really want to be like the first century church, because they were impaled on the top of poles on the roads leading into the cities. They were thrown into arenas with lions and tigers and animals to tear them apart, because they didn't know their authority, because they were just learning. We are the last century church, I believe. And as such, if you read the scriptures, you will find that this is where there will be more power shown, more ability shown, more sovereignty of God shown. We live in the most exciting time. The only other times I can think of that would be as exciting would be at creation, when Israel was delivered from Egypt, or when Jesus was here walking around. We live in the most exciting time, but we need the fivefold to bring us to the point that we can do all He desires for us to do. And that, my friends, is my message for this time. If you've never accepted Christ, if you said, well, I'd kind of like to be a part of that, won't you just do it now? Just go to the throne and say, Heavenly Father, I come to Christ now. I want Christ to come into me and into my heart. I want to serve Him. I renounce the devil and all his ways. In Jesus' name, receive me now. If you're someone who's sort of slid away from this, just go to the throne and say, you know, I've just sort of not maybe been where I should have been and done what I ought to have been doing, but I'm back. And I want everything that you have for me, Lord. I surrender myself to you. Forgive me. I'm here now. Let me tell you, you put amen to that, so be it to that, because that's His desire for you. If you need some help with this, you can contact me, The Sojourner, at sojournershub.org. We'll be happy to communicate with you, to put you in contact with people that can, to give you literature that you may need some help in understanding some things. We'll get that to you. We are happy to work with you. That's our whole purpose. So now, with this blessing, I will conclude this session. Until next time, my friends, the blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.